Were you working at Rusty's when Uncle Ralph started courting Annabelle?
No.
Had he married her before you worked there?
They were married when I went to work there. They'd been married quite a while.
Was Evelyn born?
No.
Could you describe their wedding?
Oh, like all weddings. Father gave the bride away and...
Where was it held?
As I remember, the Methodist Church.
Is that in the Centenary Methodist Church up here?
Yeah, Vita was married. When she got married, she was married up there at the Willowdale, and I was working there then.
Uh-huh.
She married Billy Lawson.
What was her wedding like?
Why, it was about 20 below zero and the wind blowing. And there was invited guests, or invited people to come to the wedding. I was out around the barn with Nelson Beesnett, and we were shutting up the barn doors and banking the doors inside with to keep the cattle warm. You know, it was a good barn, too. Was it cold and blowing? Well, that girl got married that day, standing in the corner of the parlor with an arch over him. I remember that. I wasn't invited. I might have been in the kitchen the rest of the time I was out at the barn cleaning the horse off or something.
Was Nano there?
Oh, she must have been. Nano.
What'd they do after the wedding?
I don't know where they went.
Did they have a party?
Well, they could have, somewhere downtown. I don't think those days, well, I don't know where they went. He was, you know how she met him? Bill Lawson. He was a sergeant in the Army. Well, they came, a call came in to take 2-3 cases of milk down to the candy kitchen. That's where Harry, what?
Laughlin's
Annis. That's where he, they called it then the candy kitchen. And Vita could drive, but she couldn't crank that Chevrolet, black Chevrolet. She could drive all right in the town or anywhere. So her father said, will you take the car, Vita, and I'll load in this milk. Can you take it down to the candy kitchen? And she said, sure, I can. So she come down and went up around there and turned around, come back and stopped the candy kitchen and went in and told Tommy
Smirlis.
Must have been Tommy Smirlis running it. He'd come out and carry in the cases of milk. They're too heavy for a girl, a woman, 12 quarts in each. So when she got straightened up with Smirlis, well, I suppose. She had left the car running and it died and she couldn't crank it and couldn't start it. Well, she was trying to crank it. And this soldier, he's a nice looking fellow. His coat sleeves was all pressed and his trousers fit so nice. He was plump. Not much taller than Vita, a little bit. He was standing there on the walk, not paying much of any attention. And she tried and tried, she said. But you know, when you had to crank a car, if you didn't put your thumb in there, you get your thumb broke on that crank. After a few minutes, he happened to notice her, that's before he knew her at all. He said, would you like me to assist you, lady? You don't seem to be having good luck. That's what Vita said when she got home. So he gave it a twist and it went right off. She got in, started right away. Well, at the supper table, she said, well, he said, how'd you get along with the milk business down there around that candy kitchen? Well, she said, the milk business was all right, but the car wouldn't. I couldn't get the car started. It died on me. No starter on them days. No starter. But she says, I met the cutest soldier that you ever seen. He says, you did. Ain't that nice? Looked over at Lucy and winked as if to say, well, I wonder who she's met. Well, I don't know what the conversation was between Vida and Lawson, and the one, the Bill there, after he cranked it, nobody knows. Well, Rusty said, my dear girl, you said you met the cutest, this is at the table, fellow soldier. You met a soldier. And she said he even had his shirt and outside coat was pressed and his trousers and shoes shining. And she said, Rusty said, you fell in love with the uniform, didn't you? You don't know what the man consists of, do you? She said, no, I hadn't thought of that. Well, he said, I'm thinking of it. He said he didn't, that soldier didn't press them clothes. He's in the army. They've been pressed otherwise. When she went downtown again, she met him again. I suppose he found out where she lived. I was putting the horse in one day, about 1:30, and who drove into the yard but this soldier on a motorcycle. Yep. Due time, a year or so or more, they got married. Then they couldn't get along. He was a good barber.
What was the inside of Rusty's cow barn like on the Willowdale?
Oh, all whitewashed, and he had all Ashier cattle. With them big white horns, you know, like you'd see at the fair. Nice and clean.
Did he have a silo in his barn?
I don't think there's a silo there. Unless there was a built-in silo. They used to build silos inside the barn, back near the hayloft, square ones, square silos, insulated. About that thick the walls was.
About 6 or 7 inches thick.
Yeah. You wouldn't see the silo outside. No, their silos are all outside. Some of them's got four.
Did they have what they called a bay in the barn?
A bay?
Yeah.
That's a hay bay. That's a bay where they unload the hay.
What's it like?
Well, it's a great big room off the barn floor. The full width of the barn, and probably as wide as from here downstairs, that width. From where I'm sitting downstairs. That's a bay.
Straight down?
Well, you unload one load of hay, and you keep unloading the hay till you get to the roof. You put a lot of hay in if it's tramped in. Loose hay.
So you entered the bay through a little door in one side inside.
No, you can drive a team right through the barn on either side, double doors with a load of hay, and unload it into the bay.
Did the bay have double doors?
Well, the bay was inside of the barn. There wasn't any doors on it.
How did they separate the bay from where the cows were?
Oh, partition. The cows were in here. The bay was in there. And there was an alleyway to bring. Alleyway right through. There was hay upstairs too, you know. Hay upstairs, hay in the bay. Inches in the silo.
The upstairs and the bay sort of ran into each other.
Yeah. Well, you put in 65 ton of hay, including up here and in the bay. 65 ton. Mm-hmm. When you ran out of hay up, no use from the bay first. Because the hay up here would help keep the barn warm. Of course, it was all the barn up, the ceiling of the barn was matched lumber. Good, I'm telling you. No dust or chaff come down on any cow. You run the milk business, you can't have that.
And his floors were cement?
Yep.
What was the floor in the bay like?
No floor in it, it's right on the ground. Didn't need any floor in the bay. It's like taking a stack of hay that's outdoors and draw it all at the barn and put it in the bay. Loose hay.
Did it change the shape of the barn to have a bay in it? From four straight walls?
No, no. The bay was inside of the barn.
And you couldn't see it at all from the outside?
No. Double doors on the north side of the barn, double doors on the south side, drive a team right through. Stop in the middle and unload your hay.
If there was a partition between the cows and the bay, you had to unload the hay through a door, didn't you?
No, no, you drive right to the bay. All there was between the cows and the bay was just a door for a man to walk through. So he didn't put no hay in where the cows was.
There must have been an opening, though, through which you put the hay.
To feed them?
No, into the bay.
Yeah, you drove in with the team and dumped it right off in the bay. Then go out and get another load and keep doing that.
So where was the partition between the cows and the bay?
You say, here's your barn. Here's the partition between the cows and the bay. And this is the bay. Well, you drove the team in this door and you come right along, and here's the south door. Here's the bay off down in there. So you stopped your team here. Here's the partition that you went through there to a man can walk through, or I guess you'd lead a cow through if you had to. And you stop and unload your hay in the bay, and then you drive the team right out and go to the field.
Looks like the partition was on the opposite side of the bay.
Yeah, it was on the east side of the bay. The cows are over in here on the east side. The bay was on the west.
Mm-hmm. So if a man entered the barn, he entered where the cows were?
First.
He couldn't enter into the bay because that was blocked with hay.
No, there wasn't any hay on the barn floor where you drove the team. You pitched it over a beam into the bay.
Was the bay sunken? Sunken down?
Yeah, the bay was sunken down. There's nothing to build a bay. They build the bay when they build the barn.
Right in the middle between the barn floor and the cows?
No, at the west end of the barn, clear to the west end, so to leave room to drive your team in. Here's your cows over in here.
The bay runs the full length of the barn?
Yeah, the full width.
Oh, the full width.
Not the length.
Not the length.
Width.
Mm-hmm. What were his, what other animals did he have? Chickens?
Well, I guess some of the women folks fussing with some hens. There was hens around there. I never seen Rusty fussing with the hens very much.
What kind of barn did he have for the hens?
Well, regular hen house.
What's a regular hen house like?
In there, whitewashed inside, and that much straw in there, and they had roosts around, you know, where they could roost. See, the hens go to bed early in the afternoon, about 4:30. You see them coming from the dooryard or the grain field where they've been getting grain out there in the field, or worms or bugs. See them coming about 4:30, 4:45, and go in there and get up on the roost. They can't see at night, you know. Hens.
Did he have...
That's how they conceal them so handy.
Did he ever have anything stolen, any hens?
Or not unless Steambirds was around, he'd steal them. All of them if he gets his hands on them.
Where did he live?
Les Steambirds?
Mm-hmm.
Les Steambirds. He's a desperado. Abusing horses and stealing bees and hens. Damn crook.
Where'd he live?
Well, he lived, let me see. He married Carl Bow's father's sister. He married a Bow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I think he stayed some at old Warren Dickey's. Old Warren Dickey was living with his mother, old Liza. She was cross-eyed and he was humpback up near Lymanfoot's woods up here, right near the schoolhouse where I went. I think Steambirds was there quite a lot of his time, because he stole Steambirds and some of the rest of them stole Nancy's, every one of Nancy's turkeys.
How'd they steal it?
Well, them gal-darn turkeys, you know, instead of getting up in the apple tree at home, they'll wander to the neighbors when night comes and get up in apple trees and sleep. Well, before Nancy got around to put her turkeys away, I guess she had 15, 20 of them, 18 of them or something, they had gone right by up towards Russie's farm and gone up through that pasture and got into some of them trees in the cow pasture. And Steambirds and the Dickies and the rest of them come down and took every cussed one of them. You see, they wouldn't resist, the turkey wouldn't resist in the night. And what if they did? They'd hold their neck so they couldn't yell.
Did she get her turkeys back?
No, she never got them back. He was never arrested. They couldn't prove it. They dressed them, they killed them and dressed them and brought them to Malone and sold them, and what they couldn't sell, they buried under the manure pile.
How do you know that?
Because some of the neighbors, Jim Manili, or some of the neighbors was around up there, or some of our hired men, I think one of our hired men was going with little Annie Steambirds. And when they were drawing the manure and doing the spring's work, they found seven or eight of McGowan's turkeys under there, buried. Of course, they were dead. They couldn't sell them all, so they buried them. That's the kind of people they was.
How did they steal bees?
Well, up at the town line between McGowan's farm and Fred Manson's farm, Andy or somebody, or some of the hired men. See, our bees was in the backyard in the orchard. I think they had 10 hives. We'd call it 10 hives anyway. The bees. Nancy could swarm them bees, not put a veil on or a hat. They never touch her.
How would she swarm them?
Well, she could hear them coming in the sky, and she could bring them down onto a tree by hollering like an Indian, you, keep doing that, bring the bees down, right out of the sky. Let's see, what is the head one of the bees?
The queen.
The queen. When the queen come down, they all went. And she had her beehive on a table, like that one over there, and an opening for the bees to go in, about that size. And she had it all sprayed inside her with some sweet stuff, sugar and water, I guess. And they'd come right down and go in that hive, and she'd close the little trap door. In the morning she'd open it, and that would be their home. They'd stay there.
How would she get the honey?
Well, there was them cones in there. Oh, they make their own cones.
Mm-hmm. How would she get at it?
Well, I got ahead of my story. Over there at the town line between Manson's farm and ours, there was a hole dug where Steambirds would steal the bees and then he'd kill them by smoking them. Went over there and found the bees in a heap, all dead.
Who did?
Nano or some of the hired men or Nancy, or Andy, or somebody. I didn't go.
So what happened then?
Well, you lost your bees and your honey, too.
Did he steal all her bees?
Most of them.
Could they bring any charges?
Them days they wouldn't. They didn't bring no charges. How are you going to prove it? No troopers. Just went over and found that hole about the size of a barrel. Put that hive right down in there with some slats over the top of the barrel, and setting up on stone and start a fire underneath and smoke them out, kill them. I don't know if it hurt the honey or not. I never did know. I know they used to smoke bees to kill them.
Did she ever have any more bees?
I don't believe it. I don't know if she ever did. Or turkeys either. It's fussed all summer, you know. A turkey gets wet in a rainstorm. If they get their head wet, they'll turn upon their back and die, them little turkeys. So she fussed with them. If the sky looked like rain, see Nancy run the turkeys under the shed, shut the door. Oh, they're puny, sensitive animal, bird.
How did she get the honey out of the combs, or the combs out of the hive?
She didn't take very much out. Steamboat's done it.
Mm. What was the... Of course, this was a long time before you ever worked at Rusty's. This was when you were just growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There was someone who tried to steal your father's bees, wasn't there, too?
Well, that's the same time.
He caught him once, though, didn't he?
I think they said he had a... Well, I guess he did catch him, when you brought that up. He had a string from his bedroom window to the beehive with a couple of bells on it. If steam birds are running to the string with the bells on it, well then, if they could catch him, they would, but he's a pretty slick duck. Great big ugly looking man. Less steam birds. Regular brute.
What else did he do besides steal turkeys and bees?
He had a pulp job up there in Belmont, and the rest of the time he was abusing old horses, licking and slashing and starving them. Him and old France Comp. I can see them now.
Well, where exactly was Macedonia?
Macedonia?
Yeah.
Do you know when we went up to Ed Lucy's when they lived on the Moody Road?
Mm-hmm. You go on the left fork of the Porter Road and it's the second or third road on your left.
Well, instead of turning up Lucy's, go up straight over the hill by Ike Foot's and keep going and you'll come to Macedonia.
What kind of an area was it?
Stones and rocks. Well, they got a living up in there. Alec DeLarm and George DeLarm and Pete Giro and Patnodes, and the Patnodes we got, that's where they originated from, or came from, Macedonia. And old Joe Gokey, old bachelor up in there. He had a nice gray, good-looking mare, horse. She was fat as butter. That's where he always kept her.
How did you get to the French settlement?
He'd say, Nellie, why don't you trot along?
How would you get to the French settlement?
French settlement?
Yeah.
Well, you have to go to French settlements in Belmont, town of Belmont.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the White Church up here,
mm-hmm.
where the Hutchinses are going now. You turn right there. Turn right at the church after you go by Dayton Foot's, and you go there about a mile. It used to be 7 or 8 mailboxes on the corner. When you got to the mailbox, you turn left and go up there in the woods just by to come to the end of the road. That's French Settlement.
What was it like?
Woods, stones, and rocks. Little patches of land where they'd raise a few potatoes. Bowie had the best land up in there, that Bowie. Oliver Bowie, I knew him. He had a good looking team and he was kind of prosperous till he'd get drunk.
Who else lived in the French settlement?
Oh, old Pat Doherty and the family he raised, old Pat. He married a gardener. Jim Doherty and James Doherty and Johnny Doherty and Joe Doherty and Kate Doherty, and it was all Pat's family.
What's a Pat? Oh, that Pat, yeah.
Patrick Doherty. He had a nice looking horse with a yellow wheel buggy. He married a gardener, Frank Gardner's father's sister.
Who else lived there besides the Dohertys and the...
Well, then before you got clear into the French settlement, it was Atwood Avenue. You turned to the right as you went up the little hill and you went south again up into Atwood Avenue. George Atwood and the Marshalls and Augustus Atwood and the Bloomers lived up in there, and the Raymonds.
Who was further on up into the French settlement beyond Atwood Avenue?
Oh, that Oliver Bowyer, that was the last. You couldn't go any farther, nothing but thick woods.
Mm-hmm.
I've been up there with Mert Drury to get some pigs. I said to Mert, if you got any idea where you're going, I wish you'd tell me. I said, we're going up to Oliver Bowyer's here, further in the French settlement. Had some good shoats. Short pig is about that long.
About 2 feet?
Yeah, a shoat. They grow from a little one, see? From a little pig, like that, then they grow up here and they're shoats, and then they gotta go farther to be a big pig.
Mm.
Nice and white and clean, there was nice and clean. Oliver Bowyer. He married a school teacher. She taught school right there in French Settlement. I seen her, a tall, light-complected woman. Thrifty people. If they'd been somewhere where they could farm it, not up there picking stone, they'd be alive, I think. No, they wouldn't, because they were coming along in age when I went with Mert.
Were there any other villages that are not existing today? Like the French settlement in Macedonia?
Well, the Belmont Center, but that's still existing up there.
Who was living at Belmont Center when you were?
Oh, the Enos had a grocery store there, and I think they had a gas pump and some sherm heading, and Josie Williamson and Harry Genoway and Harry Boyce and Abel Boyce and the Sorrells and Seymours and the Oldises up in there. That's where I went. I went to get Grandma. Nancy from her relatives all lived in Bunker Hill. I went there with a horse and carriage.
So what was Bunker Hill like?
Well, you go right through Macedonia, or not Macedonia, Bryant Siding, not oh. Bryant Siding, Belmont Center.
Mm-hmm.
You go right through and I had all them places on my mind. You go right through there. The second road to the right, and you go up a sand hill. Judas Priest, it was a hot day. That good-looking Daisy mare I had, she could hardly draw that empty buggy up through there. Till we come to Augustus Otis's. Out come Nano, Nancy, barefooted, white apron on like she always had. She said, what's the trouble, Harold? Well, I said, Ma's made some deal with Russie and Lucy to go Mountain View to stay 2-3 days in the camp up there. Have to go with the horses, you know. And she said she hated to change her plans, but she wanted to know if you'd come down home and tend to things. Turned right around and got her suitcase and got right in with me.
How many other people lived on Bunker Hill?
Oh, all the Otises and boys, I don't know anymore. See, I never, as a fellow says, I didn't make any visits up there. Only after Nancy.
Who were some of the other Otises?
John and William, Augustus. Well, Billy Otis's relatives, when he had the garage, now he's a minister. Billy Otis's family were all short people. The last time I knew anything about Billy Otis's father, he was running the farm on the Muzzy Road out here. I guess there's one of them boys out there yet. Awful short people. Something like this little woman. Not much shorter, but they had voices like a giant. But I did, on Bunker Hill, I didn't know anybody else on them Otises.
How far was Tebowville away from the Gallen place?
Oh, McGowan Place is up here and Tewaville is right over here.
Did you ever go there?
Tewaville?
When you were young. When you were living on the McGowan Place.
No, I never went to Tewaville then, in horse and buggy days. But I used to come to Whippleville with grain to get ground at Fred Lyman's grist mill with the team.
Did Bill Foote have a grist mill there?
No, it was Fred Lyman. Strader, Billy, Elroy Manili's wife's father was the miller in that mill.